We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, and I am joined, as always, by the charismatic Rohan Kadi. I think I used that one before, but it's a nice one, so I feel like it's okay. Rohan, how's it going?
Doing well. Doing as well as I can. It's, you know, we're winding down the NBA season somehow in this weird season that will stand the test of time. We have, like, around 20 games left. It's just, it's wild. It's wild. So, you know, at the end of the season comes the playoffs. This is what we've been looking forward to all season long. I've made my point clear on this podcast in the past, this season, that this regular season does not interest me in terms of like just general wins and losses and that sort of thing. I'm more looking for the nuance in there, but I'm doing that because I'm excited for the playoffs, and the playoffs are almost here, Ty.
They are. They are. And since they're almost here, we thought it would be a good idea to take a look ahead right now at how the standings could end up in the Eastern Conference and how that would shake out for the Milwaukee Bucks. So this podcast right here is going to be concerned with the first, second, and third seed in the East, namely the teams that, I mean, it's going to be the Nets, the 76ers, and the Bucks in some order.
We were talking the top tier of the Eastern Conference.
Precisely. We were talking before this, most projections, maybe all projections, have Milwaukee slated as the third seed out of those three. But that's not yet set in stone. There is still room for movement. It's, again, just a very bizarre NBA season. But let's just talk about how we would like the top three seeds to shake out. Namely, how do we want the Bucks' postseason path to look? I think we can agree, it probably isn't going to take a lot of oxygen, the Bucks finishing first would be great. That would be the best thing by far. We're going to take a look in another episode about the rest of the seeding, 3 or 4 through 10 now this year for some reason, and how we feel about those seeds shaking out. But in terms of just 1, 2, and 3, the optimal is always going to be Bucks at 1. I mean, we could sit here and dither. I think, I don't know if I care. I guess Philly 2 to give them the home court over Brooklyn in the semis would be totally preferable, because I think we'd rather draw Philly, but I guess that's a question. But what all of the things I said, I don't even know where to go as the conversation from here, but give me your thoughts to what I all just said.
So the first thing I want to address is the little question you sort of assumed I have an answer to, and you assumed correctly, is that if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I would rather play the Philadelphia 76ers in the playoffs than the Brooklyn Nets. Avoid the Brooklyn Nets at all costs. We've talked about them in terms of their strengths, their weaknesses throughout. As soon as they traded for James Harden, it's just been such a polarizing topic. They are by far the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference, and deservingly so. They are playing insane basketball, and they haven't even had their big three on the court for that long. I think it's been a grand total of around 70 minutes so far this season.
Was that like three games? Two or three? Probably, yeah. Maybe three or four games.
Yeah, around there. So just, we have no idea how good this team could actually be because they're very, very good, even when they're not at full strength. So yeah, the Brooklyn Nets would be a team I would like to avoid.
Yeah, I would as well. So that's just to explain my thinking if it wasn't clear. Bucks in first is the best because it guarantees you're not going to see either Philly or Brooklyn until the conference finals. Of course, if you have to get there, assuming you get there, you won't see those teams. It's pretty much impossible. I shouldn't say impossible. It's about impossible for improbable. One of those top three teams to drop out of the top three. And especially Philly and Brooklyn, who are much farther ahead than the Bucks. So if the Bucks finish first, those right now, the Nets are in second. Philly is in first. The Nets are half game behind the Sixers. The Bucks are 3.5 games behind the Sixers. Then there are 4.5 games between the Bucks in three and the Hawks in four. So clearly the Hawks are way back of the top two seeds right now. So if the Bucks somehow went on an absolute tear and finished first in the East, all but guaranteed they're not going to see Philly and Brooklyn, and they'll only see one or the other in the conference finals. So at least you're not going to draw that nightmare fuel in the second round, which is a pretty tough matchup for literally anyone. Let's assume the Bucks don't get the first seed for the point of this combo. I think we've already covered, and Philly getting home court is nice. Give them an extra advantage. We would love Philly to beat Brooklyn. I think Philly is just more manageable. As good as Joel Embiid looks, and now he's back playing again, which is awesome. You know, the next two guys, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, a little bit different level of fear from those two to James Harden, Kyrie Irving, not to mention Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. Sixers have some nice players too. George Hill has yet to play there. He should be playing by the playoffs, you would hope. But, you know, George Hill compared to like Joe Harris, there's just a gulf. There's just a gulf between the potential of Philly and the potential of Brooklyn. So if the Bucks aren't finishing first, Rohan, is it even worth distinguishing between second and third? Or does it matter more who would end up first in that scenario?
I think it would matter more who finishes first, because if they do not end up with the first seed, it's because they obviously did not go on a tear to end the season, and they're most likely going to end up third, which is, like you said earlier, just the most likely outcome in general, because yeah, they are 3.5 games back of the first seed. It's kind of tough to make that ground up in such a short amount of time.
So, although two games each against these teams. So that is a huge potential to get back in. I'm not expecting them to go with the first seed, but when you can make up two games in each of those individual races like that, it does give you an opportunity to do it, because then suddenly you're right there. But that's assuming they go 4-0 against Philly and Brooklyn for the rest of the year, which is a very difficult thing to do, not even factoring if those games are back-to-backs or 7 games in 8 nights or whatever the hell else is going on with this NBA season.
For sure, for sure. So let's just assume that they get third.
Yes.
And assume that they get out of the first round.
That'd be good.
Yeah. So in this scenario, it would be, you know, a 2-3 matchup in the second round for the Bucks. Like I mentioned earlier, I would rather see the Sixers in the second round than face the Nets. You do not want to see the Nets this early on in the playoffs, especially considering that they're probably like 76ers and the Bucks, as we'll talk about on our next episode, they're probably not going to have a very difficult path to getting to the second round. So it's not going to be a tested team. You do not want to face the Brooklyn Nets in their first challenge. We have seen these players, Kevin Durant. We have seen Kyrie Irving. James Harden. We have seen those two players show up when it matters the most. We have seen that. We have seen them win titles. We have, in Kevin Durant's case, we've seen him win multiple finals MVPs. No, thank you. In the second round. No, thank you. I'd rather see the team that hasn't made it out of the second round in this era, in the Philadelphia 76ers. So if the Bucks are the third seed, you want to be rooting for the Brooklyn Nets to be in the first seed.
And to be clear, because I think it's worth saying, so we don't think we're dumb, we would prefer Milwaukee to have the second seed to the third seed and get home court, but we're just not going to spend as much time talking about it because it's just not how things shake out. And I think the more relevant question is, who would you rather have in first and who would you rather have in second slash third? Like, obviously, second is better than third, but I just don't think it's that big of a combo. Yes, you'd rather have the game at home, but I think the bigger question is, like, well, that we're at least discussing today is matchups and who you want to see. Devil's advocate, do you want to jump on Brooklyn when they are not tested yet and try to take advantage of that? So right now, and we'll get to it, but currently, just without thinking about it, without factoring in play-in, the Knicks are in eighth. Honestly, Brooklyn-Knicks first round might actually be fun as hell just for the whole New York thing, but it's probably a sweep. Julius Randle would have to shoot like 90% to keep up with those three players that the Nets have. So let's say the Nets make quick work of the Knicks. If you're going to run into them anyway, and it seems like you are at some point if you want to get out of the conference, would you rather get against them earlier when they don't have that experience together yet in the real tight, hard-fought games? Or would you rather have them kind of go through it a little bit, probably against Philly, and then see them later?
Absolutely not. you do want not want to. Yes, because you want the best chance as your team to win. So you don't want them to lose in the second round again. I'd rather them lose in the conference finals to the Nets than lose in the second round to the Nets. Just thinking about that as an overall, like, Bucks legacy question. Because whatever happens this postseason run, those are going to be the questions that are asked, right? You can't see them lose in the second round again for the second year in a row. They have to get back to the conference finals. They just have to. And I know that's not a guarantee, especially this year with these teams in the Eastern Conference, but you just have to. So no, I would rather see the easier team, quote unquote easier team, in the second round than just face an ultimate juggernaut in the second round.
I agree. I just wanted to provide the devil's advocate opinion. I'm sure some people believe that, and I don't think it's totally false, but I think I factor in the second round thing that you mentioned as being more important, even if I shouldn't. I mean, maybe it's really threading the needle. If you get them in the second round, you get on them before they've played a quote-unquote real series, probably, who knows what happens in the playoffs. But, you know, maybe it's the jolt the Bucks need to make a certain move that could help elevate the ceiling that doesn't involve any players on the roster. We could dither about that all day.
But you also can't waste a Giannis here.
I think that's a fair point. I think, you know, I think it should be more nuanced for the organization what they do in all aspects this summer than where they lose. But I think for the sake of, I mean, God, Giannis himself, for no other reason, I don't want to see the Bucks go out in the second round again. I just think it would not give you a fair, like, postmortem on the season, right? Like, if they lose to Brooklyn in the second round and they go like whatever 5-5 in the playoffs or something like that, 6-5, 5-6. I guess it doesn't matter. It just, like, it looks even more disappointing than maybe it is. And I think there's, like, embarrassing ways to lose to Brooklyn for sure. But I think, you know, we've seen the Bucks play the Nets close earlier this season, although the Nets weren't at full strength yet. And I mean, I guess the Nets have never been at full strength. Hopefully they get there before the playoffs, but you know, I think if you play them close, you could still lose in five games, and everyone is going to dunk on the Bucks, of course, for losing to the Nets in five games and, you know, going out of the second round and winning one game in the second round for the second straight year, which, again, is just not great for a team of this caliber, a player of Giannis's caliber, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't say all that much to me, just strictly the result, if you lose to the Nets in five somewhere. Like, could be the second round, could be the conference finals. I would rather have a fairer look at the season. And I think you get that from getting Brooklyn in the conference finals. So does that make sense? I feel like
it does. Yeah. You can look at it that way. You can just look at it in the terms of if the Nets do end up like if it's a conference finals matchup, Bucks, Nets, you'd rather see this Nets team sort of worn down a little bit in that sense, because you could look at it both ways. We talked about it earlier in the sense like, oh, they're tested now, they're warmed up. They're also an oldish team.
Very old. The guys who play are old.
Yeah. So if you want to see them worn down a little bit, you want to see them in the second round, or excuse me, in the conference finals, not in the second round. Because, you know, this team, like this Bucks team, especially the guys who are playing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A little bit younger. They're not too much younger than this Nets team, because the Bucks aren't as old as they were last year, for sure, but they're still an old team.
That's what happens when you lose Kyle Korver,
George Hill,
Marv.
Yeah
they were damn old last year. That's a good point.
I think they were the oldest team last year.
I think they ended up there. Yeah, especially when they ended up swapping Dragan Bender for Marvin Williams. That's a 13 or so year shift in itself. But yeah,
Lopez, Bobby Portis, which, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And also, like, I just think you're going to need a little bit of randomness to beat the Nets no matter what. Like, I think the Bucks could play their best ball. And if the Nets play their best ball, the Bucks probably lose. I don't know. Do you subscribe to that? Do you agree with that? I guess that's a question worth exploring, too, as we kind of shift to talking about the teams themselves a little bit.
Yeah, that is an interesting question. I've been sort of grappling with that inside my own head as I think about this Bucks team, is how good do I actually think they can be?
Right.
Because we've talked all season about, oh, they're experimenting, they're trying new stuff, waiting for the playoff. This player's out. We have not seen this full team realistically yet. We haven't. And who knows, maybe once Giannis and PJ Tucker come back from their injuries/rest, allegedly, I don't want to downplay any actual injury is what I'm trying to say here.
Right.
Once we see this team at full strength, that's what we could see. Also, you could make a counter argument and say, well, you could say the same thing about Brooklyn, because we, as I mentioned up top, we haven't seen that team at full strength yet. I think the one team that we have seen at full strength is the Sixers, and they're the Sixers. We'll talk about them in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Brooklyn and Milwaukee, they're both sort of mysteries, which is why this playoff matchup sort of intrigued me so much. Because on its face, it's KD, Harden, and Kyrie versus Giannis, Chris, and Drew. In whatever order you want to say, we're not talking about that this episode. So you get just those three matchups. And theoretically, like, those three players, like, they match each other in a sense of, like, the Bucks have defenders to put on those players, and, you know, vice versa in the sense like, oh, can Brooklyn handle Milwaukee's big three? No one really says that, because that's fair. Brooklyn's big three is better. They are better. They're very much better. I know you were waiting for me to actually talk about that. They are better. I will admit that they are very, very, very good. Very good, which is why this entire conversation is just very interesting, because Brooklyn is a very good team. I don't know how to stress this enough. They are good. They are elite.
They feel to me like the favorites at this point in time. When I listen to like the low post, they might literally be, as with all the weirdness going on out west. Lakers can't get healthy. The Nuggets just lost Jamal Murray for the rest of the season, a lot of next season, which absolutely sucks. This season should not have been played at this pace. It's clearly bad for the game, but I digress. The Nets are literally the favorites. I think the thing with Brooklyn that I still believe is, like, if they can fully optimize all of KD, Harden, and Kyrie, they will beat everyone. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be able to keep up with that team. It's just not going to be possible. I mean, the Bucks have a good big three of an all-NBA player and two, like, all-star level players. And then the Nets have two first-team all-NBA players and an all-star caliber, and a literal all-star in Kyrie Irving.
No, a second-team all-NBA guy.
yeah, exactly. So, you know, we can argue about, you know, was Chris snubbed, was Drew snubbed in these particular years. It's just it's the difference between guys who are floating around that level and guys who are just there. And, like,
they're locks for that level.
And some of it is hype and popularity, especially, I think, regarding Kyrie, but they're all very good. And that includes Kyrie. Kyrie at his best is, like, an absolute maestro who's unguardable.
Kyrie is underrated this season. He's extremely underrated this season because there's a plethora of things that go on with Kyrie Irving. So it's hard to focus on his actual basketball play on the court, but he is having an elite season. He has missed games here and there, but he hasn't missed as many games as Harden, definitely not as many as Durant. And he is keeping this team afloat and playing at an all-star, all-NBA level, like you were saying, to keep this team up while Harden has been out, while KD has been out. So Kyrie is having a massively underrated season. But to what you were talking about, yes, the Nets big three is better than the Bucks big three. The one thing with the Nets, though, is defense. That's what we talk about. And they're just the general discourse around the Nets is that their defense is not great. It is not great. And those three players are not known to be great defenders. Kevin Durant can be a good to great defender. He spent half a season in Golden State trying to make all defensive team and didn't remember that. That was a fun time.
I do.
He was like, that. Oh, I'm going to go for every block. And then he was like, well, sure.
He was legitimately better. He was legitimately better there at defense. And, like, he went on a tirade saying, I've always been this good. You all just never noticed. Like, KD, just take a compliment, man.
Yeah. Like, I love you, KD, but, like, come on, man. But those three are not, you know, known for their defense. Giannis and Drew, Chris is a different story. Yeah. Giannis and Drew are known for their defense. Drew Holiday is an all-defensive team player. He is the guy who even Kevin Durant has called, like, the hardest guard in the league, like the hardest player to go up against in the league. And Giannis is the reigning defensive player of the year. So the counter-argument to, oh, the Nets big three is just so good on offense. Well, yeah, the Bucks big three, whatever. It's a different conversation.
Yeah.
They play both ends. They play both ends at an elite, elite level.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting is,
The Nets lost to the Lakers without AD and LeBron by 20. Given Kevin, was James Harden not playing in that game? Yeah, James Harden was not playing in that game. But the entire Lakers roster of good players was not playing in that game.
Yeah. I think the thing with the Nets that I think is probably going to end up killing the Bucks if these two teams match up in the playoffs is, yeah, as top heavy as Brooklyn is, and certainly they are, they also have some elite role players. And I can just absolutely see Jeff Green and LaMarcus Aldridge and Joe Harris shooting like a billion uncontested threes to beat the Bucks, even when they hold KD to a respectable number and one of Kyrie or Harden has an off night. Because I think, like, you're going to get in games where those things happen. Like, The Bucks can – they have some guys at least to throw at Kevin Durant. There's only so much you can do. It's Kevin Durant. But, like, they used Giannis as a help defender and always showed him two defending players in the last matchup, and it actually worked. And then it's like you kind of just – I think you put Drew on Harden and hope for the best, and I don't really know what you do with Kyrie. I guess you kind of want Kyrie to shoot more because, again, we acknowledge
great player. If there's any of those three players, you want Kyrie because he is – He is an elite, elite player. We talked about this. He is the worst of those three.
Although maybe you put Drew on Kyrie because the Bucks do kind of have a playbook for Harden that we've seen work well with even lesser defenders. Although it depends. Also, I think Harden probably has the most playoff question marks out of the three. So you can vary it. But Drew needs to play like 56 minutes per 48 minutes in the series for the Bucks to the Bucks to live. But no, they have other, there's some other players who can defend. But I think what it comes down to with Brooklyn is, like I talked about, they'll lose. The only way they'll lose is if they're not optimized. And we'll see, like TBD on how Steve Nash is going to do. They've experimented a lot this season. I think that deserves rewarding, although the big rotation is just weird. Like, I think they're better off playing a lot of Nick Claxton for their defense, but I think LaMarcus and Blake are just going to play, and that's why they ended up there. But the Bucks, we haven't talked about, like, are they going to be optimized? And unfortunately, the answer is probably no, based on what we've seen over the last 2 years. And that's what really leads me to believe that the Nets will probably win if these two teams match up. Because I think if you're getting the most out of the Bucks rotation, I think they have a legit chance, even if Brooklyn plays well. I think they could hang in there, and then a couple 50-50 moments, who knows what happens. I'm just worried we're going to see like Pat Connaughton guarding Kevin Durant and Joe Harris open all the time.
Bobby Portis guarding Kevin Durant.
No. Like all of these things that are just going to frustrate the hell out of us. And I think that's going to make this series look silly in a hurry. If it comes, like, I just don't think there's no margin for error here. Even against Philly, I think there's some margin for error. And we're going to talk about them momentarily. Against Brooklyn, there's just none, because all the time, except for like, I guess, Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton, they're going to be playing guys who will find ways to kill you offensively. And even like Bruce Brown's a really good cutter. I mean, it's nice. It's, you know, there's levels to this. It's Kevin Durant.
Bruce Brown, you know what? This is a thought that came into my head. Thanasis is like baby Bruce Brown from the Nets.
Yeah. Just like a dirty work guy, basically.
Yeah, and he'll roam out there, do whatever he wants, and he'll make good plays.
I think Thanasis makes more sense in this series than Connaughton does, to be honest with you. Because the Bucks are just going to need to play defense.
He might. And he's playing himself into it. Oh. Yes. Yeah. The Twitter outrage is going to be delicious.
It's going to be beautiful. People are going to be so confused who haven't watched all year, aka everyone who's not on Bucks Twitter. And they're going to be like, wait, Giannis's brother is playing? What kind of joke is this?
It's his younger brother.
Yeah, yeah. Giannis's little brother. But yeah, that's my thought on the Nets. It's just like you want to avoid them for as long as possible, because I just think you need so many things to go right, some out of your control. Again, like I want Kyrie taking the most shots out of the big three. And even then, like it's not like that's a great bet. I mean, you could totally lose to Kyrie shooting a bunch of shots, but you'll lose more often if it's KD shooting a bunch of shots. But even outside of all of those things that are kind of out of your control, I mean, you can try to funnel shots, but whatever. Like there's things in the Bucks' control that I think they're probably not going to do the best at, and that's just going to make it so, so tough to beat that Brooklyn team.
For sure. And just as a counter here, we could make the same conversation reversed. Who on that Nets team is guarding Giannis?
I'm going to be interested to see what their starting five even is.
It's probably going to, yeah, because they've varied it. I mean, they've had to because of all their injuries and protocols. They've had a lot. I think they've had the most used lineups in the entire league this season. So I'm very interested to see if they put LaMarcus or Blake on Giannis. It's okay. Sure. We could say the same thing about Steve Nash that we do about Bud.
Yeah.
Realistically. Because we haven't seen Steve Nash as a coach before in the postseason. We haven't seen that before. At least with Bud, we know what we're getting. Hopefully not. But
yeah, I was going to say, hopefully we don't know that much, but yeah.
Hopefully we don't know. With Steve Nash, we know nothing. We know nothing at all. We have no sample size. This is why I was talking about with this team being just an absolute mystery, because we don't know what this team plays like together. We've never seen this team play together for a playoff series in terms of just roster. And in terms of coaching, they're all over the place. Like, who knows what you're going to get? I'm not saying they're poorly coached or anything. I'm saying we have no sample to go off of.
If I had to guess, I would assume, I mean, we know three of the starters. I assume Joe Harris will start. So that leaves one guy. I would guess DeAndre Jordan, and if I'm the Nets, I start DeAndre on Giannis and KD on Brooke Lopez, because the Bucks are stupid and they'll probably try to play through Brooke Lopez as a result of that, because it's just stupid, and that's an advantage. And I think like you probably just are going to cycle through guys trying to guard Giannis. Like I think KD will do it a little bit, but I don't think you want that the whole series if you're Brooklyn. I think, you know, probably Nick Claxton, who's like a really good switchy defender. But again, like, is he going to lose all of his minutes when everyone's healthy? to all the other guys. Who knows? Jeff Green maybe is going to get some opportunity.
That's the name I was going to bring up.
Jeff Green is one of those where like he can't really do it, but he's like a smart enough veteran player that he might get away with enough stuff to kind of do it.
It's like an Anthony Tolliver against the
Jay Crowder. That was last year. Jay Crowder was the one.
I said Anthony Tolliver. That's such a niche reference. Wait, didn't he get signed by someone recently?
I don't even remember. I don't know what Anthony Tolliver's been up to be honest with you.
I think he's in the league again, but I digress. My counter to that is we've seen the Bucks play this team. Like the Bucks in the playoffs are Giannis goes ham. I doubt they'll try to play through Brooke Lopez if Kevin Durant's on him, because Giannis will have DeAndre Jordan on him.
Yeah.
In that situation. And Giannis goes ham. He goes insane when it's playoff time. Think back to the 18-19 run. Just from the tip, I guess it was the Pistons, so like whatever. But from the jump, he was like, nah. We're winning this. So he goes insane in the playoffs. If he has DeAndre Jordan on him and Steve Nash, if you put Blake or LaMarcus on him, good luck. Just good luck. That's the counter.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be most interesting is Miami was able to neutralize the Bucks' favorite action, the Chris Giannis pick and roll, by just putting guys on both of them who could switch because they have so many of those switchy guys. I don't know who Brooklyn would put on Drew that they'd be comfortable with both guarding Drew and guarding Giannis. So there are going to be opportunities here for the Bucks to exploit. They need to just be diligent about doing it and not have the offense devolve into a Dante DiVincenzo fadeaway or a Brooke Lopez, Burke Lewitsky, or whatever the hell else they do. They're just going to have to be really good. But I think...
Or Brooke Lopez will have his Brooklyn powers activated and he'll just go nuts.
Ooh, Brooke Lopez revenge
series. Did you know he's the Nets' all-time leading scorer?
I did. I'm not shocked by that. He was there for a long time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe being in that city, if the Bucks don't have home court advantage in this situation, maybe like we get Boston Pat. Maybe we'll get Brooklyn Brooke.
I'm here for that. Let's talk about Philly. We've talked a lot about Brooklyn already. The TLDR is don't want to play them as long as possible because they're the best team in the NBA by consensus, the most likely to win a championship. It'd be incredibly hard for the Bucks to beat them in a series. Philly,
it would also be an insane legacy boost.
It sure would be, Rohan. It sure would be. It would be epic. And it looks like the Bucks will have to go through both of these teams, so no Mickey Mouse rings in store for Milwaukee if they somehow pull this thing off. So the Sixers. It's kind of nice. All of the coaches of the power three teams in the East, kind of some question marks. Doc Rivers, someone people very much like as a person, myself included, big question marks in his playoff record, I think, since he left Boston.
Not just playoff record in general, just the way in which it happens. Because we had the reason he is in Philadelphia is because he's not with the Clippers anymore because of their just insane, we shouldn't say this as books, the followers, but just their massive 3-1 meltdown against the Nuggets. We had the infamous Clippers-Rockets series from a few years back where the Rockets somehow, some way, just
Josh
got
Smith,
this.
Baby.
Josh Smith just absolutely torched the entire city of Los Angeles and just ethered them into oblivion. So, yeah, Doc Rivers does have some questions.
Yeah. So, and his team, I think, has some questions too. So, Embiid, I don't even want to spend that much time talking about Embiid, not to do a disservice to him, but just because, like, he's incredible now. He's expanded his range, 38% from three. He's shooting a really high percentage on long twos. He recently compared his game to Kevin Durant, and I was going to like make fun of him, and I was like, he's actually kind of did it, so I'm not going to. He's not at KD levels, but he's like just really, really good, really hard to stop offensively. He's gotten better at manning double teams on when he's posted up. He can shoot now on defense. He's a DPOY level defender, the true Sixers DPOY, if you will. So that's Embiid. We'll see. We've seen, you know, Brooke Lopez, we'll see. I'm hesitant, but actually the one thing that gives me a little hope about that is Brooke Lopez has been really good defending players who are like facing up this season. Normally it's perimeter players on switches, but he's very smart about combining kind of his height and his slowness to not let people get around him and kind of encourage them to shoot, but they don't have a great shot because he's deceptively long and all this. So hopefully Brook will be sort of
equipped.
Did you
just call Brook deceptively long?
Yeah.
Go get it.
Well, I think he tricks people. I really do. I think watch him cover anyone on the perimeter when they're facing up. I swear he tricks them into thinking it's going to be a pretty open shot, and then it's just not. Like, he kind of swallows up the airspace. He's really good at that.
I don't know. So, like, I'm not saying you're wrong. I've just never heard that before.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but whatever. I mean, it's usually
no, it does.
Well, it's usually like Derek Jones Jr. is deceptively long because he's like 6'5 with a 95-foot wingspan, but Brook Lopez is not one of those
Bridges.
Players. But yeah. Oh, no, that was Miles Bridges with the dunk. But yeah. So that's Embiid. Good luck, Brook Lopez. He's going to score a billion points probably if he's not, you know.
And the thing is with Brook Lopez is like, oh, he can't defend like pick and pop bigs. Well, one, the Bucks have varied their pick and roll coverage this season based on whether they're drop bigs or pop bigs. And also, if Embiid is shooting threes, this is the thing, like I sound like a mainstream media person. If you win every single possession that Embiid shoots a three against you, like he is shooting, what,
38.3% on just three attempts per game.
Three attempts a game. So he's only making like just over a three a game. If that's the game plan, sure, you'll take that. You'll take that every time.
I think you need to keep him off the line. You need to keep him off the line. That's the thing with Embiid. More than 11, nearly 12 attempted free throws per game, you need to be so disciplined defending this guy. That's where I think he's on pace to break a Wilt Chamberlain record. That's how much he's getting to the foul line. That seems impossible with Harden existing, but I heard that on the Low Post recently. You got to keep Embiid off the line, keep out of foul trouble. That's going to be crucial to defending him. But
and that does get sort of toned down in the postseason as well.
Great observation. But I think really the key to beating Philly is exactly what it was last year and what it's been this whole era is like, survive the Embiid minutes, feast and the non-Embiid minutes. And again, I think mentioned this earlier in this pod, I've certainly said it recently, the next two guys are Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. So you have an opportunity here to make the most of capitalizing on all of the non-Embiid players. And I think that means doubling Embiid, although he's gotten better at it. I still think you want to get the ball out of his hands, probably with the guy guarding Simmons as much as possible. And I think it means it needs to be a focus every game. Win the non-Embiid minutes because they just don't have enough. So Tobias Harris, amazing season. He's probably played better than Chris this year. No, at least close. He's been on his level. And that's not even shade at Chris, which people will probably, this war in Bucks Twitter, I don't care about right now. Tobias has just played really well. Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons. And then it's like Seth Curry, Danny Green, Shake Milton, Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle. We're talking about like fine players, but not really guys you're super afraid of, especially like comparing them to the Nets guys. So I think the game plan here is like really try to make Embiid do it all if you can.
Yeah. Do you want to hear what Ben Simmons does in the playoffs? Usually.
Yes.
So the last time he was in the playoffs, given he did miss the playoffs last season in the bubble due to it, it was a knee injury, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so, but I'm not positive.
Okay, it was some sort of lower limb injury. He was out. He didn't play in the playoffs. So 18-19, we got a scorching 13.9 points per game. We got a lower than even his rookie season 6.0 assists per game. We got no 3-point percentage. Actually, he shoots is it 100 if he doesn't take any in that regard?
No.
He shot less than 10 shots a game. just absolutely beautiful. He had just didn't even get to the line, shot 3.3 free throws a game. It's, you know, he was averaging, more foul, like 3.8 fouls a game too. It's just like he's not great. He's not great in the playoffs. He got reduced to playing the Bucks variation that they added this year, the dunker spot role. That's what his entire role was in the playoffs because he could not do anything else.
Yeah, and even in recent weeks without Embiid, he was like playing very passive.
But Ty, he's Giannis if he has his own team. That's I've been told.
14.8 points per game in this regular season, 7.7 rebounds, 7.1 assists, 3.5 turnovers. A good, useful player, much, much more useful on defense than offense. I think he's going to give Milwaukee problems on that end. But he's just so easily marginalized on the offensive end that, like,
he's the Philly Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah. And I think the game plan for me defensively is I'm putting Giannis on him and just saying, like, do whatever you want. Like, clearly he's not going to shoot. So if you're anywhere around the rim, you're going to be able to recover and stop him. Like, this is the perfect cover for Giannis because we know how much he's prone to wandering off of his man, and it can kill the Bucks if he's guarding Joe Harris or Jeff Green. If he's guarding Ben Simmons, it's probably fine. It's probably going to be just fine if he wanders away. So I think this is a sneakily good matchup for the Bucks. There are still the shooter issues. You know, don't lose Korkmaz all the time. Don't lose Seth Curry.
Dante.
Don't lose Seth Curry, who they're sometimes afraid to play. You got to watch for Danny Green, who I don't trust any of these guys, particularly, especially Danny Green, who I feel like is just a fraudulent playoff player who just has never really been that good in the playoffs. And he has a reputation from that Spurs team, but ever since that year, he's been pretty awful in most postseasons.
Back-to-back rings, though.
Big rings guy. Big unearned rings guy. So, yeah, I just like, you know, they
Dwight
have...
Dwight Howard, Ty.
Yes, Dwight Howard is there. He's going to hit a couple big dunks in a game and give up a lot of points.
Can he?
He's going to dunk. I think he's going to dunk for sure. Dakota Mathias is 11th on their team in minutes, although he's only played 8 games, but that's just fun to read. Tyrese Maxey, the guy who held up the Harden trade, might play. I don't know.
Maybe.
This team does not inspire me, and I know they've been good.
You know what they remind me of? I said last season they remind me of the 15-16 Bucks, and that sort of came true with their Al Horford signing. And just like, oh, that was a good team. That was a fun team.
What a great comp.
Yeah. This season reminds me of the 1920 Bucks. Last season's Bucks. They do not have it.
If they finish first,
come back to bite me. But
if they finish first, it's a perfect comp.
Exactly. And it works wonders for the Bucks if that happens. Because the Bucks are sort of in that Miami role, aren't they? Even though, actually, I wouldn't say that because Miami was a little underrated heading into that matchup. I was not underrating Miami in the slightest. But I digress. this team, no one on this team scares me except Embiid.
I feel like they should be able to handle Tobias. And I just
would you rather have Ben Simmons or Thanasis?
Ben Simmons.
For what?
My head says Ben Simmons. My heart says
tell me why.
Thanasis.
Convince me. Actually, convince
playmaking.
Me. Sure.
He's a better defender too. He's a better defender too. Yes.
I don't know. Okay, I'm just kidding. But okay.
My heart says Thanasis. My head does not.
That much of a difference though? Yes. But
yes, but less than some people think.
Is it worth a question?
No. I thought Shake Milton could shoot 32% from three. Tybalt 31% from three. They have some big question marks.
He's a 3-and-D guy. He's just missing the three.
Yeah, D guy. I could still see this team giving, like, potentially beating the Bucks. Like, I do think they're going to be good, and the Bucks are going to have to play well and execute a good game plan. But I just see better avenues, better matchups individually for Milwaukee. And I just think Philly kind of runs out of defenders unless they're playing Tybalt and giving up even more spacing. So, like, either they play Tybalt, Embiid, and Simmons and just have, like, zero spacing, or they play two of them and they have to guard one of Giannis, Chris, Drew with a suboptimal player. So it just feels like there's opportunities for Milwaukee to win these matchups and beat the Sixers. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they're good. I think we probably disrespect them a little too much, but I also just do not see them as
a better team. It's all in jest, and it's fun.
It's only sort of in jest for me. I don't believe in this team.
Make it to the conference finals.
It's fair enough.
Do that. Yeah. If people call on the Bucks, the Sixers haven't even done that.
It's a good point.
They really haven't. They've done nothing in the playoffs.
They almost beat the Raptors, but didn't.
Yeah, they lost.
Same as the Bucks.
Yeah, they lost. Sure, they lost. They lost earlier, and it was like a 7-game series instead of like a 6-game series. Sure, I would argue that the Chris Middleton pull up three at the end of game three in that series is as consequential of a shot as that Kawhi shot,
or just the Siakam controversial out of bounds call that ended up also near the end of that game deciding it. Like, if the Bucks go up 3-0, I mean, people are on both sides of it, but we don't, I mean, the game 7-1 is more consequential because obviously it 100% determined the series. So there's not, it's going to be a little bit more, but I agree with your general point. And yeah, but that's, yeah, that's enough of that. Enough of the 2019 playoffs.
Go make it to the conference finals.
Yeah. Well, just stop saying that, because if they do, that probably means they've
beat the Bucks. You haven't made the conference finals, Phil.
Yeah. So, so that's the top three seeds. So Brooklyn, and I don't think this is a revelation to anyone, but Brooklyn, the most dangerous, the team the Bucks would like to see the least. The Sixers, going to be tough, tougher than anybody else in the East besides obviously Brooklyn, but I think that should be something the Bucks can navigate. So if they lose to Philly in the playoffs, that to me feels like a huge disappointment. If they lose to Brooklyn, the second round part would sting, but we have to see the series as well, but I could see it being not a massive disappointment.
For sure. I agree with that analysis. So basically, if you want to assume that the Bucks are finishing third, if we're talking seedings here, you want Philly number one.
Yes. Yes. So you want either the Bucks first or the Sixers first.
No, sorry. You want Brooklyn number one. I completely messed that up.
Quick overview. Number one best. Bucks first. Philly, then Brooklyn, then flip-flop those two. Then the next most optimal is Brooklyn first, Milwaukee, Philly, then Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee. And then the least optimal is Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, because the Nets in the second round with home court is a nightmare. And then also, like, even without home, even if Milwaukee has home court in that series, it's still going to be really, really hard to win. So I think that about covers what we set out to do. We looked at the top three teams, how the seedings could shake out and how it'll matter, and what's best for the Bucks. The TLDR, avoid Brooklyn as long as possible.
Yes. Yes. Avoid Brooklyn. Maybe we're overhyping them too much, or maybe we're just scared for a good reason. But yes, avoid Brooklyn at all costs. But what you shouldn't avoid is leaving a rating and subscribing to your favorite Bucks podcast, the Eurostep, here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to the show overall. If you did enjoy, do what I just talked about. You know, make sure you leave that Apple rating. That helps. And subscribe, as always. Tell all your family and friends about the show. Check out all the content across the Blue Wire Network. Stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.